Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of the Pastors for Punch TV with host Joy Brown. If you're just now tuning in on Friday's episode, then you have definitely missed out because Wednesday's show was amazing. Thursday's show, you definitely have to listen to. So much going on. But being Friday, today, we know that this show is going to top all shows. So this is the first week of the Pastors for Punch TV. If you're listening to this show on your computer, you definitely want to call in and join the conversation. You can give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And please be sure to press 1 so that we know you want to join the conversation. If you are listening to this show live and you don't want, if you want to join the conversation, please press 1. Press 1 to let us know that you don't want to just listen. You want to jump into the punch bowl and you want to join the conversation on the Pastors for Punch TV with host Joy Brown. We're going to bring our host on the line momentarily, but before we do that, we want to go ahead and introduce our guest for today. Today's guest is Pastor Claiborne Collins. Claiborne Collins is a minister at Emmanuel Church located in Portland, Oregon. He's lived in Portland for 25 years. Pastor Collins has been married 3 times and certainly knows what not to do in a relationship. He always says, "I might not have all the answers and what to do, but I certainly know what not to do." So we have Pastor Claiborne Collins joining us today on the Pastors for Punch TV with host Joy Brown. How are you doing today, Joy?
Just fantastic. And how are you today?
Excellent, excellent. I'm so excited to see what's going to happen on this show, because this week, I think it's blown my mind. I didn't even expect to have such an amazing show. I mean, not that I didn't think it was going to be this good, but this show, it has really surprised me. What do you think, Joy?
Oh, my expectation was always high for this show. I knew when the assignment came that there was going to be a level of high expectations of revelation that was going to come through this time, because we're talking about pastors that have experienced some, have stories that haven't even yet been told, pastors who did not want a pastor, but God called them, pastors who are PKs that was raised up in church and they were groomed for this, and then you got pastors that have phenomenal stories that literally came out of jail, off the streets, was on drugs, name it. We got a variety of stories that we're waiting to listen to. So the expectation of what you're going to hear is going to be just phenomenal, and it's going to change your life. That's what I believe. And then the expectation of hearing pastors that went through, that lost the church, that had members that turned on them, and then they came back in the church, and how God favored them and just raised them up. So, yes, there's a lot to learn about the documentary of what faith is all about. The Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. That he that comes to God must first believe that he is God, and then when you believe it, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're talking about one of the highest offices that anyone could be assigned to, even higher than the president's office, pastor-ish.
Yes.
And the Bible calls them shepherd. So when you talk about shepherd, and many of us never grew up in the Middle East where they had sheep, but we wear the clothing of sheep. Anything that you're probably wearing today, of course, with cotton or something like that, it comes from a sheep. So that tells you what the value of a sheep is, even in the body of Christ. So, yeah, it's amazing things that are going to be happening on this show with Sharifa and Punch TV. the pastors everywhere. But more than that, we got somebody that's just awesome with us on today, and we had to track him down.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Turned him around. He landed in our hands this morning. And before you even asked him, I mentioned it to him. And the response I got wasn't like it was going to be today, but when I heard about it, my spirit was leaping. I was like Elizabeth and Mary when she told about Jesus, John leaped in her belly, in her womb. So I was leaping for joy to have our guest, Dr. Claiborne Collins, is in the house. How are you, sir?
Thank you for that introduction, Miss Joy. I really appreciate that. God bless you. I want to make one correction in the introduction. I am no longer at Emmanuel Church in Portland, Oregon. I currently live in Los Angeles, and I am waiting for my next assignment. So just saying that, I just wanted to not want to represent the church that I don't belong to anymore. But, you know, God is still good. God is still doing things, and I'm waiting for my next assignment, which is coming soon. And I appreciate the fact that we have an opportunity to talk about what God has done for us. And the book that I wrote was a book that was given to me some time back, about 8 years ago, as serving as pastor at Emmanuel Church. Serving in Emmanuel Church, I did a lot of marriage counseling.
Wow.
And some of the stories that I heard and some of the things that I saw people going through the Spirit just prompted me to write this book. And the name of the book is Your Best Relationship Now. Meaning that we have to take advantage of what we are going through right now, not make promises to do better in the future. Do better now.
Mm-hmm.
Make the change you need to make in your relationship right now. And we can't bring baggage from past relationships to a new relationship, or even baggage from a past incident or action to a current situation that you find yourself in with your spouse. And I say spouse because the book talks about Paul said in the Bible that he would that every man be like him. But recognizing that we are not, if we just can just be real, recognizing that everyone is not going to be like Paul, because Paul was a eunuch. Paul didn't have sex organs. He didn't, you know, so he didn't have those sexual desires. He didn't have a desire to be with a woman.
Wow.
And God made woman for man.
That's true. So, that's what the Bible says.
That's what the Bible says. So I always say that I would prefer that people get married. And so I always teach that, preach that. That, you know, it doesn't really take 5 years of engagement to get married.
It doesn't? So what does it
Dr.
Claiborne?
It says that if you're going to lay with your wife or lay with this woman, that she should be your wife first. So that's what the Bible says. Now, so if you have an issue with that, don't have an issue with Claiborne. Have an issue with the Bible.
Exactly.
Take it up with God.
Right.
So that's what prompted me to write this book. And so this book talks mainly about don't be surprised at what you get once you say I do. Because the signs were always there, you just ignored them.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so
do
I
you
go
give
through the
seminars?
Book and talk. I'm sorry?
So do you give seminars?
I do. I've done several seminars, and I've done several self-help sections and several workshops on the things that are in my book. And I talk mainly about the common sense stuff. Like the simplest thing is, and we all say it, that you watch how a man treats his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And how he treats his mother is going to emulate how he's going to treat his wife. If he's not loving to his mother, don't be surprised when he turns on you.
Right.
So,
and the same thing they say about a girl and her father also. Most women look for men like their father, and unfortunately, whatever he did or showed her in the home, that's normally what attracts her.
She's looking for those same qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly. 'Cause
that's what she grew up with. So, you know, so you, and also the relationship that you, that a woman has with her father.
Yes.
You know, if you have a woman that has a really bad relationship with her father, I'm not saying that this happens 100% of the time, but I can tell you that there's a good indication that she's not going to have a good relationship with any man.
What?
Yes.
You know, so.
And that's only talked so. Do you have, when in your courses of your teaching, when someone comes with these baggage, how do you help them to leave that baggage? How do you detach the baggage from the person when that's a part of their life?
Well, I think for me, and I'll just say this and just be real with it, I believe that a relationship with Christ is the answer to any issue, problem, or concern that you can ever have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
First, you have to have a real relationship with Christ. If he can solve all your problems, he can take you off drug addiction, he can take you off alcohol, and any other issue or problem that you may have. So first, first off, I would say you need to get into a routine of constant prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can pray yourself out of any situation. You can pray yourself out of debt. You can pray yourself out of a bad relationship and turn into a good relationship. You can pray yourself out of any situation that you're in. So first of all, I would say it's important that we have a relationship with Christ, a genuine relationship with Christ, not just one where you put it on and you take it off.
Right. Okay.
You know,
explain
the Bible
to
says,
us. Explain to us, because you're talking about relationship, and a lot of people think because they're going to church or because they go to prayer, because they do this stuff, that that's really what relationship is. What is the relationship that the Father is looking for from us?
True worship. And not just in church, but you worship God by just being the light, so that people can see the God in you. You can't go to church on Sunday and hoop and holler and shout and fall out in the pews and all on the floor and all that stuff, and then leave there Sunday and go home and cuss out your husband and everyone else and act a fool.
Okay.
But what people see is what is people what folks see is what you did in church. Where and that may not be the best example, but the thing is that worship is not just in church. Worship is in your life.
Right.
Worship is in your walk.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is in how you talk to people. You're worshiping you're worshiping God when you talk to other folks. You speak it in the true love, that you're really concerned about them. You have to show the love in your heart for mankind.
Okay.
The real, genuine love for people has to be in your actions in every way. Not just when someone is looking, not just when you want a sound bite, not just when you're trying to make up for something you did yesterday, but just because that's in your spirit to do.
Right. Okay.
You know, and so we always want to say, well, I can make it up next time. You know, one of the things I say, one of the things that we've always done, and I've always taught this, that if you are a churchgoer, or even if you aren't a churchgoer, there's only one real way to show that you really trust God, and that's to pay your tithes. Well, when we are out here.
Right.
There's only one way to show that you really trust God outside of paying your tithes in your church, and that is to show your genuine love for mankind. You treat people with the same modicum of respect that you want for yourself, that you want for your children, that you want for anyone that you care about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult. And that's difficult, especially in this day and time.
Right.
It's very difficult, and it's really hard to teach that to our children. Because a lot of us, our children are millennials. They're not churchgoers.
That's true. We're talking about it all. for the last couple of days. That's true.
I know it's going to say the same thing.
Tripled.
That's what we were talking about this week, is the millennials and them turning away from the church and from what we were reading in record droves. Like, this is the one generation in history that is the least likely to be religious or the least likely to go to church.
Well, I wouldn't say the least likely to be religious. I would say the least likely to go to church.
So, Dr.
Okay.
Let me ask you something, because you sound like, have you been in church all your life? Were you trained like that?
Oh, no. I haven't been in church all my life. As a matter of fact, growing up in a little small town in Arkansas called Malvern, my father made me go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
So I could choose to go to Sunday school or church. And I would always pick Sunday school, because Sunday school was only an hour. And church lasted 3 hours.
Okay.
I didn't want to go to church.
Teenager. Yeah.
No, I wasn't a teenager. I was little. I was like 5, 6 years old.
Oh, my God.
And the church was only 2 blocks from my house.
Okay.
And my father would make me walk to church on Sunday morning. If it was raining, he'd take me and drop me off.
And he didn't
me and
go.
My brother. Well, my father worked at Reynolds, and he worked a graveyard shift. So a lot of times he wasn't able to go, because he just got home from work. But once he brought to his attention, he did make it a point to go when he was at home.
Good. Okay.
But, after that, I left. When I grew up and left home, I left the church. I didn't go back to church. Right. I mean, I didn't join the church for like 10, 15 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Now, I think I read in your bio that you was in the military also, right?
I was in the military, and I didn't go to church when I was in the military.
Wow.
Mm.
So I left the church for a while, and then ironically, Bishop A.A. Wells, about 17 years ago, called me out the blue, because I was doing some business consulting for several people, and I own my own business. And so he called me out the blue and asked me to come to the church to negotiate a lease for the church.
Okay.
And so I came to the church. I came to Emmanuel, negotiated the lease, and it took about maybe 3 or 4 weeks to do that.
Okay.
And in those 3 or 4 weeks, I'm working around all of these saved people. And I tell you in a heartbeat, I did not believe. People said that the Holy Ghost rubs off on you from other folks.
Yeah.
When it's genuine, it does.
Exactly, it does.
You know, so I worked around these people. I worked around Bishop A.A. and his son, Bishop C.T. Wells, and all these other, Deborah Kimbrough, they were, and these were all incredibly saved folks.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I hadn't met my wife yet, but I was on the way to meet my wife. I think what was happening was God was setting me up.
Now, was this your first wife?
No. My wife that I have now.
Okay, all right. So you had two before this one.
I had been in two horrible marriages. So I was single for quite a while. And so, so God was setting me up for my comeback with this with this wonderful woman that I have now.
Okay.
But anyway, I was working at this church, and before long, I started attending the church.
So what drew you to
the church
was the people, being authentic? Is that what drew you?
The people, the things that were happening in my life while I was at the church.
Okay.
I can't, and I'll tell you this real quick story. It was a blue truck. I can't remember the name of the truck, but it was like it was about the same size as a Honda Passport. But anyway, the truck was like in really bad need of repair. The engine was bad, it was messed up or whatever. And I was driving from my home, and that was about 20 miles away, into the church every day to help them work on this lease agreement, on this lease transaction. And one day I said, because I had to go and pick up so I had run some errands, and the truck started smoking, and it started smoking, and it started you know, spitting, and oil started mm-hmm. coming up on, you know, up onto the onto the windshield, and it was just
wow.
acting a fool. And so I said, Lord, if you can just help me make it back to the church.
Won't he do it?
And I was stopped. I was stopped at the red light, right? I was stopped at a red light.
Yeah.
And the truck in front of me, which was it was a big truck, a Tahoe. I said, Lord, just help me make it to the red and back to the church, and I promise you, I will get this thing fixed, or I get another car. But I didn't have any money to buy another car
right.
because I had stopped doing the other stuff that I was doing. So.
Oh.
All of a sudden, this Tahoe comes, he puts his car in reverse and slams into my truck.
Oh, my God.
Slammed into the truck, and he had a tow hitch on the back of his truck. So the tow hitch went through my radiator, went through the grill and through the radiator and messed
oh.
up the headlights and the hood and all of that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on here? So I get out, and I look at the front of the car, and I was like, wow, well, that's kind of messed up. And the guy that gets out the car comes back to me. He looks at me and says, man, I don't know what happened. I didn't even know I put my car in reverse. Next thing I know, I'm ramming you. And I
wow.
said, well, man, things happen. No big thing. No big deal. So we pull off the road behind – off the road over behind a building, and we exchange information, and he tells me, he says, I'm glad you didn't go off on me because I'm a police officer.
Oh,
he says,
my goodness.
And he said, I'm a police officer, and I'm going to take care of this for you. I'm going to call my insurance
company
right now.
I hear a miracle coming. That's what I hear.
And he said, I'm going to call my insurance company right now. And I'm gonna tell them that was their fault, and for them to go ahead and fix your car. So see,
hold up right
know.
There. Just hold
I
up. Hold
no
up
insurance.
Right there. Cause I feel like shouting right there. You testifying is what you're doing. You
telling
us that God worked like that in your behalf.
God worked
and,
like that in my behalf.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Telling you.
Oh.
In this instance, Miss Joy, in this instance,
ooh.
He called. I didn't even have any insurance. You hear me?
Are you serious? And you and a police
I didn't have any,
rammed into
I
you.
I didn't have any insurance, and the cop said to me, he said,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to call the insurance company and have my insurance company take care of this
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to do anything.
My
and
God.
I was like, okay, so before I could get the car, the truck to the shop, the insurance company called me and told me that they would take care of everything. So
okay.
the next morning, the adjuster called me and told me that the car was total, which I figured it was going to be total.
I knew
now,
that was going to happen.
This is the part that tripped me out. Was I had some money come in that same day or the very next day, like $2,500 or $3,000.
From the insurance company?
No. From some of the work that I had done.
Okay.
So I used that money, and I went. I had a friend of mine go to the auction with me, and I bought
mm-hmm.
a car that cost $2,500, and paid cash for it at the auction.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and then the insurance company called. So the insurance company called me the very next day. And said, "Hey, Mr. Collins, I'm the insurance adjuster." And for the accident, sorry that happened to you, but my computer is broken. He said, I go into the system. He said, I go onto my blue book, and your car is worth about $700, which I knew
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
he says, but when I put it in the computer keeps spitting out a number of $2,500.
Lord have mercy.
And I was like, what? He said, the computer keeps sitting on a number $2,500. So if you will settle with me for $2,500, you can come pick your check up today.
What did you do?
I burn rubber getting out there and get that check. So I said to myself, if this is how God works, if this is how he really works, then this is a team I need to be on.
That is something.
So
we need to give him a praise right there. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. I recognize then that, hey, we're not in control of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You are fooling yourself if you think that you are in control.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I went from that day on, about 8 months later, I met my wife. A year later, after I met my wife, I got married. A year after that, I was licensed as a minister. About 3 or 4 years after that, I was ordained as an elder.
I was an aspirant.
So in the Pentecostal church, you become an aspirant first. I was an aspirant for a year, which means you're a training minister.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a training minister for about a year. Then I was licensed as a minister, and I was a licensed minister for about, I want to say like maybe 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. And then after that, I was ordained as an elder.
Wow.
And so I've been an ordained elder ever since. And one of the things that always sticks out in my mind is my favorite scripture. And my wife never understood why until recently. It was always Luke 9:62, where Jesus said, "He who put his hand to the plow and looked back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven."
Wow, I understand.
And what that tells me is, there's nothing in your past that's going to do you any good in your future. So let your past be the past, and let your tomorrows be your tomorrows, and don't confuse the two.
Mm-mm-mm.
And we spend so much time and energy on trying to recoup what we used to have.
Right.
You know, and, you know, just like David, when David disobeyed, Samson, when Samson disobeyed God and gave Delilah the secret to his strength, God restored him, right? But God didn't restore him completely. God gave him his strength back, but he didn't give him back his sight.
Yes.
So we have to keep this in mind. He who put his hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven, because you're so busy looking back that you can't see what's in front of you.
You can't see your future.
You can't see your future. And so one of the things that I've always tried to do was try to keep things into its proper perspective.
Amen. Being able to place things into its proper perspective is definitely the way to go. So if you're just now tuning into the show, you're at the last half an hour of the show. You have missed an amazing first 30 minutes. We have been speaking with Pastor Claiborne Collins about so much. If you are listening live on the phone and you want to join the conversation, please press 1 so that we know you want to do more than just listen, that you want to join in the conversation in the punch bowl. If you're listening to the show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, please give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. This is an amazing show. We got another 30 minutes left. But before we get to the last few minutes of being able to speak with Pastor Claiborne Collins, we are going to stop for a brief commercial break.
Awesome.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. We have a network of television stations around the country. And today, we are proud to announce that we have just launched our newest television station across all of Southern California. KILM is the new Punch TV. Check your local listings on Direct, Dish, Spectrum, Charter, Frontier, and over the air for free. From the desert to the sea, it's Punch TV. For more information on the second phase of the Punch TV Studio stock offering for only $1 per share, call 310-419-5914, 310-419-5914, or log on to PunchTVStudios.com. That's PunchTVStudios.com.
Investing in IPO carries a degree of risk. There is no guarantee that your investment will be secure. Do not invest if you cannot.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you Nabuki?
We are back from that brief commercial break. If you are just now tuning in to the Pastors for Punch TV with host Joy Brown, today's guest, special guest, is Pastor Elder Claiborne Collins.
And listen, Dr. Collins, we're going to find out more about your book. I want you to give us a title, give us how we can get the book, and most of all, we got to find out how, let these pastors know and those that are listening that you are available to come and speak. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
So you are in the city of Los Angeles, and now that you have moved here, you can be contacted. You know, we want to know how can you be contacted, because there's a lot of marriage people right now that are listening to this radio talk show, I'm quite sure, is interested in the things that you're talking about as far as relationship. Now, me, I want to hear more about the relationship as being a single woman and looking forward to wanting to be married. So you have a lot of nuggets that you could just drop on my way as I'm going to the altar. And I think that's commendable, because you said some things about how we're handling our personal life and not worshiping God, not waiting on Him, for Him to bless you. And you've had experience, because when I read your bio, it says you've been married 3 times. So that lets me know you made some mistakes. So I'm
right.
going to hand it back over to you, and we're going to listen to you. But I do want you to let our listeners know, how can we get in touch with you? How can someone invite you to their church and give a seminar or just have a sermon and to hear more about what you're doing on the spiritual side?
Well, I'll give you my email address. It's Claiborne Collins, Claiborne Collins, @hotmail.com. That's my email address. And my cell phone number is 503-867-9570, 3867-9570. And you can look at my book up online. It's called Your Best Relationship Now by Claiborne Collins. You can order it through Lulu. So if you just look it up online, it'll direct you in terms of how you can order it. And one of the things that, you know, one of the things that is a huge misnomer is that the Bible only talks about relationships between married couples. I think that the biggest misnomer is that the Bible talks about relationships in general between people, between men and, co-workers, neighbors and whoever, just people in general. And my book kind of alludes to that. And one of the things that I can share that I try to teach as often as I can is that we need to train ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need to program ourselves to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Now,
never,
what do you mean?
Never, So what I mean by that is never assume the worst about a person just because how they look or how they're dressed or mm-hmm. even by their walk.
That's
never
true.
Never assume the worst about that person. I always want to get first a bit, you know, people, so we're programmed to say first impressions is a lasting impression. Well, guess what? What if God judged you on your first impression?
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If God judged most of us on our first impressions, guess what? We all doomed to hell. So if God can do it, why can't we? Don't judge people based on preconceived notions. Don't judge people based on what you heard from somebody else.
That's
now,
true.
I'm not saying to be stupid.
Right.
If someone mm-hmm. says to you that this is a bad guy and this is why he's a bad guy, I'm not going to go looking for something. I'm not going to come to you and ask you about stuff someone said unless there's a benefit to me to do that or if I need you
That's
for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but for single women and single men, if you are looking for that other person, that husband or that wife, then you have to always give that person the benefit of the doubt. Maybe when you met that woman, maybe she was in a bad mood. Maybe she just had a
mm-hmm.
bad day. So when she came across brash to you, she said, "Oh no, I can't deal with that." Well, you don't know what her circumstances were. You know, make that always be a second encounter. Don't always base your opinion on your first encounter.
That's true.
And I can truthfully tell you that when I met my wife,
mm-hmm.
my wife tells me to this day that she could not stand me.
Are you serious?
Oh.
What was it? What?
Absolutely.
Why? What are you? Were you arrogant or?
I
was
one arrogant, short, bald headed. She said I was one short, arrogant, bald headed fat guy, and she was just
that,
so sick, and she just couldn't. She couldn't stand me. But.
Ooh, man.
But we are married today, and I can
tell you this:
we're married today, and next month on the 22nd of September, it will be 10 years. And
we
I will tell
give
you
away the way, but yeah, yes, definitely. We that is amazing.
I don't mean just 10 years of marriage. I mean 10 great years.
What?
Okay, but what I want to know about and what I kind of think you glossed over is you said I met my wife. My wife couldn't stand me. We've been married for 10 years. So. Something happened in the middle. Like, what made her be able to fall in love with you? What changed? What happened? That's the part that I want to know about.
Mm-hmm. And you got a beautiful wife. I've seen a picture of it.
She said what made her fall in love with me was how I treated her.
Oh, so what you do?
I treat her like a woman. I treat her like a lady.
Okay, tell
I
us
didn't talk.
What
I,
does it mean when you said that you treat her like a lady. Give us some examples that we can listen to right now and tell us, what did you do?
Well, one thing I can say I always did was I was always the protector.
Aww.
Men should always be the protector of
mm-hmm.
their wife, their woman, their girlfriend, the woman that they want to marry. Because if she doesn't feel safe around you, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
What does she need you for? And see, I think part of the misnomer is we spend so much time feeding our egos and everything else that we forget that women, just like men, there are certain things that we need. As a man, I need my woman to listen to me. I need her to, and I don't want to say respect me in a way that makes me sound like I'm a chauvinist, but
mm-hmm.
respect me the same way I respect you. Genuine
mm-hmm.
and be genuine with me. Love me the way that I love you.
Right.
Be concerned.
But
be compassionate. Yeah.
Let me ask you something, because the word says that a man is to love his wife like he loves himself, but it never says that a woman is supposed to love you. So is respect supposed to be like the highest requirement for a man?
Well, I think that we can take the scripture, and if we really want to take the scripture and
mm-hmm.
use the scripture as the tool that we use to
mm-hmm.
determine the boundaries of our relationship,
mm-hmm.
then you have to also remember that the Bible doesn't talk about, and it spends very little time on divorce. It spends
mm-hmm.
very little time on on blended families. The Bible doesn't talk about blended families at all. And I say a blended family is when my wife and I, for instance, that was a blended family. She had two children. I had three children.
Okay.
Two of my children were grown. One of hers was grown. But we came together, we brought our families together. The Bible doesn't talk about how to make blended
mm-hmm.
families work.
Okay.
But let me tell you what made it work was that we both had a relationship with Christ. We both loved
right.
each other. And if you love each
okay.
other, then you have to love her offspring.
Right.
Then you love her children. So, and my thing was never make my wife have to choose between me or her children.
Okay.
That's not fair. So there's a whole fairness aspect of this whole thing as well. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't expect something from your wife that you're not willing to give. Or
okay.
you're not. So you shouldn't expect something from your other half or your mate, your spouse or whatever that you're not willing to give.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, I think when we say respect your husband,
mm-hmm.
I think husbands need to respect their wives.
Okay.
And
yes.
So that goes back and forth. And I would say
okay.
that husbands need to respect their wives first so that they can get the respect from their wives that they need.
Right, exactly. Okay.
So, and I think the respect, there's a real thin
mm-hmm.
line between respect and love.
Yes.
When we're talking about husband
yeah.
and wife, there's a real thin line.
Mm-hmm.
If you respect your
okay.
husband, then that means you trust your husband. So you have to so your husband or the man needs to feel like you trust him.
Right. Okay. We
you
agree.
Know. So meaning you trust my opinion about things. Now,
mm-hmm.
some of those fools, those men are. You know, that are running around their wife. I'm not talking about that kind of trust.
Right, exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the fact that you trust my opinion,
mm-hmm.
or you at least give me the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, that's good.
And that's
not always easy. You know, because we're talking
easy.
About yeah that women that come out of single family homes, they're already
programmed a certain way. They're programmed.
Yes.
They're programmed a certain way.
Right.
They never listen. They never watch their mom deal with the husband. So they
mm-hmm.
don't know how to deal with the husband. So
that's true.
That's why the divorce. So that's why the divorce rates are so high now.
Mm-hmm.
Is because most people, not just women but men, have
mm-hmm.
never. See, I learned a lot of what I do now because my father was a great husband.
Wow.
He was a great father. He was a great husband. He was a great husband
okay.
to my mother. And so I watched how he treated, and, you know, he was a southerner, right?
Wow.
And so he was a southern gentleman. He was really a southern gentleman. He loved his wife, and
mm-hmm.
his wife didn't have to work.
That's awesome. That's what I want.
Right? So I want to...
I said that's what I want, but I'm just saying when you don't have to work.
Well, my wife doesn't have to work.
Exactly.
She works because she wants to work. She works because she wants to work. And
right.
I, you know, but if it were just me, she wouldn't have to work. That's
why I
work as hard as I
note.
Do.
Okay, I want you to hold that note because I want you to come right back again and tell us about this book. But I just want to interject something because we're talking to Dr. Claiborne Collins, who's in Los Angeles, and he's written a book about marriage. But this is the pastors for Punch TV, and I am the host, Joy Brown, but I'm inviting pastors mainly because we want to document your church history and discuss how you are involved in the community wherever you are. And we want you to call us and just say, I want to be on this dynamic show. I'm looking for you. I'm going to find you, and you're going to come on this show because we have some phenomenal testimonies about how you got to where you are in your ministry, and there's pastors all over that may be struggling right now with their churches. They be struggling on what to do. But most of all, Punch TV has a phenomenal campaign that's running in our IPO, and we want to invite pastors to come on board and be a part of it. And so we have Dr. Claiborne on the line with us that's actually a great man of God. He has some nuggets and some things that he's talking about, marriage, making the best out of it. And I'm just into that conversation, but I know we got pastors on this line, people on the line that really want to know what is the pastors of Punch TV? And I don't know what to say. I just want to interview you. I want you on our show. So I want you to call us and make yourself available. And it is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If every week, wherever you are, it is 3 o'clock Pacific time, but I want you to invite your social media to listen to what you have to say about your church. Okay, back to you, Dr. Claiborne.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I didn't really talk a lot about probably the more simpler things about my book. But I will tell you this. I've done lots of marriage counseling over the years, and some pastors will tell you that they never advise people to get divorced.
Mm.
They never do it. They will say they never do it. And what I will say to you is this. If you are married and your husband is beating you upside your head, and you are just hanging in there because you have this notion that he's gonna get better. You know what? I think things could get better, but you need to remove yourself from that situation. And there are laws in this country that are available to you to help you do that. Now you can go back later and remarry him if y'all can get it back together, whatever the case may be. But I would never encourage anyone to stay in an abusive relationship,
okay.
Whether it's physical
abuse or even
mental abuse.
I have a question for you. Now, based on your example, it always kind of seems to me that sometimes we say, okay, if a person is beating us or abusing us or there's abuse there, then definitely walk away. But sometimes that's like an extreme. That's a drastic experience. What about other instances where, you know, maybe it's just not working out for you, but that, you know, he's not beating you. You know what I mean? Like those type of circumstances. Do you know with the marriage counseling?
Marriage counseling works. I mean, if marriage counseling will work for you, see, marriage counseling only works for those folks who desire to stay married. Okay?
Yes.
That's what marriage counseling works for. It only works for those folks who desire to stay married. If you don't want to be married, and I'll tell you, if you're with someone after 5 years or whatever, 3 years, 2 years, whatever, you say, you know, I don't want to be married to this person anymore because he's this or he's that or she's this or she's that. I'm not going to tell you it's okay to get divorced. What I will tell you is, no, I'm not going to tell you it's okay for you to get divorced. What I'm going to tell you is that we all have our burdens to bear.
Yes.
And if And if this solution is a solution that you think works for you, and you can, and you're okay with it about with getting divorced, then that's between you and God. See,
okay.
I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. So I'm not going to say, ooh, if you divorce your husband, you're going to hell. I don't know that to be the case. You see what I'm saying? I don't know that to be the case. I can tell you what the Bible says, and I can tell you what I think the Bible means in certain situations, but I can tell you this, that you have your own burdens to bear. If you can see your way to it, then God will see your way through it.
Wow.
So
are there really some signs that you need to be listening to in order to recognize that? You know, what are they, how do you figure it out?
How do you figure out whether that you should divorce your husband?
Yeah.
Now that part, I can't help you with that. All I can tell you is, I can share with you, I've been divorced twice. Now the first divorce I went through was because I was stupid. I was stupid. I was a coward. I did not want to be responsible. So I should have thought about all these things before I got married. I didn't want to take care of my wife and my child because it was hard. I was in Louisiana at the time. I couldn't find a job, and it just really got hard. I was living with my wife and her mother. And that by itself, those dynamics right there are enough reasons to help a lot of people leave that environment. But my ex-wife's mother was a wonderful woman. My first ex-wife was a wonderful woman. They were both great people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was they're not the one with the problem. I'm who had the problem. I was the coward. I didn't want to stick hang in there and try to make things work because it was easier for me to just go home with my daddy.
Wow.
You know, so I left Louisiana once I got out of the military, and I drove to Oregon, and I told my ex-wife, I told her that I'm going to go home to Oregon, I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to send for you. And I knew when I said that, I had no intention of sending for her.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
You mean you abandoned her?
I abandoned her and my child.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
And one of the things that I can say today that helped me with that is that I can truly say that I reconciled that with God. And as a result of that, I have a relationship with both of them now.
Awesome.
My daughter and I have a great relationship. One of the things that, you know, one of the things, it's not in the Bible, but one of the things Hammer said is to thine own self be true.
Yes.
See, you need to recognize that the problem ain't always been everybody else.
Right.
Okay? The problem ain't always been everybody else. In this instance, I was the problem. I walked out on them.
So, and you had to own that.
And I had to own up to it. To thine own self be true. When my daughter tells me today, now I have a daughter that actually lives here in L.A., and she's a wonderful person. She works for the Dream Center in downtown L.A., and she's been doing this missionary work for a number of years now. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And one day she said, she told me that I've been a good daddy.
That's wonderful.
And see, but the thing is, she was just being nice. I know I haven't been a good daddy. I haven't been a good father. Why? Because my relationship with her didn't start until after she was almost grown.
Wow.
So when she's saying I've been a good father, meaning I have to do the best. I'm a good father now.
Exactly right.
I think I'm a good father now, but I haven't always been a good father.
Yeah, because you can't go back.
You can't go back.
Mm-mm.
And nothing about your past is going to benefit you. And people say, well, you can always you can always use those as learning tools and just don't forget where you came from. You know what? There's some truth to that, but there's more dogma with that than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Your past is not going to propel you into your future. Your past is not creating a slingshot for you.
That's
you know,
right.
Your past is not going to create that slingshot for you. You
mm-hmm.
need
Amen.
To
Amen.
Stop and recognize that we all have our crosses to bear. There's some things
Amen.
I've done in my life that I'm not proud of, right?
Yeah.
Okay? So don't walk around here like you're perfect.
That's right. Amen.
And
Amen.
You
Amen.
Won't walk around like you're perfect, and you want to pass judgment on everybody else. Well, you know what? There's only one person that's authorized in this universe to pass judgment.
Okay.
And
who
one
is that?
That's Christ.
That's true.
He will pass judgment. Not me. I'm not trying to put myself on no pedestal. I'm not God. So I don't have any room for judgment. Now,
that's
people,
awesome.
And so I say to this, in your relationship with Christ,
mm-hmm.
in your, I mean, you have to be true to yourself. We all know that we fall short to the glory of God. Jesus Christ, I mean, Jesus described us, no, Paul described us in relationship to Jesus, we're like a dirty rag. I don't care how good of a life you think you live.
That's true.
Compared to Jesus Christ, you are a dirty, filthy rag.
Mm-hmm. Now give us your email address again.
It's Claiborne Collins, all one word, Claiborne Collins at hotmail.com. So
okay.
We are, you know, so we need to do some work on ourselves before we can help anyone else. And I think most men who are looking for a good wife, fix yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring no woman into your mess, meaning clean out all that crap in your closet.
Amen, amen,
and if
amen.
You don't clean out in your closet, if you need some help, tell her about the crap in your closet so she will at least know what
yes.
she's dealing with before she moves forward with you.
Exactly. I think
amen,
that's
right. Amen. I do, too.
And
now,
women,
we are coming close to the end of the show. We got a few minutes left. So what we want to do in wrapping it up is allow Pastor Collins to give us a few brief words.
So I was going to say that, you know, when we talk about he who put his hand to the plow and looked back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven, that says a number of things. One, the story is based around how Jesus Christ went and walked along the Sea of Galilee and recruited his disciples. The disciples he recruited, one said to him, "Let me go and bury my father. Oh no, let me go and bid my family farewell." Jesus said to him, "I mean, he said, let me go bury my father." He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." The next person
yes.
said, "Well, let me go bid say goodbye to my family." Jesus stopped everybody in that track and said, "Hey, look, hold up, wait a minute. He will put his hand to the plow and look back and not fit for the kingdom of heaven," meaning that once you decided to start your life on this track, your relationship with Christ, he's already forgiven you. Once you've asked for forgiveness, he's forgiven you.
Yes.
Then you need to
yes.
walk in your forgiveness. You need to
yes.
live in your forgiveness.
Yes.
And you need to stop
yes.
punishing yourself
yes.
for the stuff in your past.
Awesome.
And then move forward with your life. Because I'm telling you, God will set us all up for a comeback. So,
uh-huh.
and I'm telling you, God is so awesome. God has done some remarkable things in my life that I just can't even tell you how good God has been to me. And my wife,
amen,
and my family.
Amen.
We have gone through a lot, but he's always seen us through everything that we've gone through. You know, so it is remarkable how people want to continue to marginalize power of God. The
amen.
Millennials, I get it. You guys don't, I mean, the millennials don't want to go to church for 3.5-4 hours on Sunday. I get it. Well, guess what? We can make a church for you that only lasts an hour and a half. I think you can get phenomenal worship in, and
that
I think the
good.
Word can go forth. The word can go forth, and you can
yeah.
get phenomenal praise in an hour and a half.
Well, we got to make that
find
happen.
Find you a church. that caters to your needs.
Yes.
Because it's out there. But
that's
go to
good.
Church.
Go to church.
Alrighty. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Claiborne. A few words, Joy?
Yes, well, on behalf of our CEO, Joseph Collins, we do, first of all, I want to say thank you for allowing us to use this time to promote the pastor's talk show, and we look forward to our pastors calling us, and we got some phenomenal things in forward, just looking for the next day. Now, next Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, you don't want to miss it. And it's at 3 o'clock Pacific time, or whatever your time is, we want to meet you on this talk show. And thank you for joining us. Have a great day.